Thank you for joining us for the Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman. My name is Pam Klein, and for almost 36 years, God has continued this ministry to encourage and equip Christians in the marketplace so that we're all better able to represent Jesus Christ. Whether you've listened for many years or this is your first time, we welcome you. And thanks to the thousands who continue to support us through all of these years, because you've made it possible to continue. Mary, I know you're completing the devotional you began last week, which you call A Plan for Spiritual Growth, and you're focusing on a well-known passage from Galatians 5 that lists all the fruit of the Spirit.
That's right, and it might be helpful to remind everyone that this passage outlines the traits and characteristics that should be in the life of every Christ follower. They're known as the fruit of the Spirit because, well, that's what the Apostle Paul called them. That just means that when you and I were born from above through faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came to indwell each of us, and therefore it is His presence in us that makes it possible for us to produce this fruit. Mm-hmm. It is the fruit of the Spirit. But like all fruit, it has to be nurtured and given proper care if it grows as it should. So I'm praying that I can give some practical suggestions to just help all of us grow this fruit in abundance in our lives.
Yeah. And in addition, you've prepared a very helpful booklet, which we're making available, a structure that can help you display this fruit in abundance in your life. I'll tell you how to get that later. But first, Mary, we're eager for part two of A Plan to Grow Spiritually.
If I could guarantee you a major transformation for good in your life simply by putting a plan into place, would you be willing to give it a try? Well, actually, that's what I'm doing. As Pam mentioned, I've put together a simple plan to help you focus on the 9 evidences that our lives are controlled by God's Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit as given in Galatians 5. You just work on one fruit at a time, and by God's grace, you will see this transformation in your life. We looked at the first 4 fruits last week, love, joy, peace, and patience. So this week, we begin with number 5 on that list, and that is kindness. What does it look like? It looks like common courtesies, like thank you and please. It looks like allowing someone to get in line in front of you or letting a car into the line of traffic in front of you. Kindness is saying words that bring encouragement and comfort. It's taking time to help an elderly person or give a child a cheery greeting. Kindness may simply be a smile on your face, a friendly hello, a listening ear. Whatever form it takes, we all know and love kindness when we see it, don't we? Since kindness seems to be in short supply all too often, when you and I display this fruit of God's Spirit, it does make an impact. We need to be very kind people. If you're like me, you have to sometimes remind yourself to show kindness because you get so carried away with your own busy schedule that you just forget. So let's become intentional about being kind. Begin by praying specifically that God will give you a kind heart and a kind tongue toward all the people in your life for each day. This includes the people you know, as well as the strangers you meet throughout the day, the small interactions you have with various people all through your day, by phone, online, and in person. Set a goal to do at least one kind thing for someone every day. Then all through your day, look for those opportunities. Let's say your coworker is swamped with a heavy workload, so you offer to stay an extra hour and help her. Or perhaps someone has car trouble and you go out of your way to give him a lift or jumpstart his battery. When you and I go out of our way to be kind, even in the very small things, it not only makes an impact on those to whom we are kind, it comes back to us in many ways. Proverbs 11:17 says that a kind person benefits himself. We reap what we sow. And when we sow kindness, it does indeed benefit us too. Now, next is goodness. But what is that and how do you display it? We often say God is good all the time. But what do we mean by that? Do we mean that God does what I want Him to do and answers my prayers the way I want them answered? Do we mean that God pours blessings on us and therefore He is good? Good means virtuous, righteous, morally excellent, and of course, God is good all the time. As you focus on being good, that does not mean that you're going to try to make everyone happy with you or jump through everyone's hoops. It means rather that you are going to focus on being virtuous, righteous, morally excellent. Let's think of things that are not good. Lying, gossip, cheating, criticizing with a judgmental attitude, griping and complaining, indulging in sexual impurities, allowing impure thoughts. None of these are virtuous. None are good. 2 Peter 1:5 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge." The very reason that Peter referred to was the fact that Jesus' divine power has been given to us, and it has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And He has given us great and precious promises so that we can participate in the divine nature. Because of this, Peter writes, add goodness to your faith. We may need to dig deep into our hearts to root out those things that are not good. We're to add to our faith goodness. Now that takes effort and focus. It might mean we have to change our television viewing habits or throw away some magazines or novels or stop our bad habits of gossiping or complaining. Make sure we're always telling the truth. It means we don't exaggerate to make ourselves look better. We don't cheat our company out of a penny. So let me ask you, did you wake up this morning and wonder if God still cares for you? Do you ever worry whether or not God will keep His promises? Most of us take for granted that our God is faithful. I love Carol Cimbala's song about God's faithfulness. Some of the words are, "When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love He's proved faithful to me. He's been faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, still He's been faithful, faithful to me." Yes, indeed, we can take great comfort in God's faithfulness to us, but we also need to make sure that this trait is evident in our own lives. Faithfulness is the seventh aspect of the fruit of the Spirit as given to us in Galatians 5. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." Paul wrote to Timothy, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service." I would love to be considered faithful by the Lord, wouldn't you? We can only be of service to God if we are faithful people. You've heard it said that the best ability is dependability. That's another word for faithful. Do you have a reputation for being dependable? Are you known as a faithful person in the performance of your duties? Do you always keep your promises? Is your word your bond? Remember, it's better to underpromise and overdeliver than to overpromise and underdeliver. Promise sparingly and then keep your promises no matter what. The next evidence of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. I'm always overwhelmed with the amazing gentleness of Jesus Christ. He described Himself as gentle and humble in heart. Peter tells us that our beauty should not come from outward adornment. Instead, it should be that gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Galatians 6:1 says that if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Gentleness solves arguments, halts anger, and restores someone who has sinned. I remember talking with a man who was coming out of a very long, serious illness. He was back at church, and I was telling him how good it was to see him. Someone else walked up, asked how he was, and said, "You have really aged." Gentle words? No, thoughtless words. Do you have harsh attitudes toward people? I love this quote from Diary of Private Prayers. "May I be willing to make the same excuses for others that I make for myself. Are you quick to criticize and judge? The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, just like Jesus. Practice the golden rule this week. Really concentrate on it. When you start to become irritated with someone or criticize them in some way, just stop and say, "What would I be like if I were in their shoes?" Or, "If I didn't know Jesus, I'd probably do the same thing." That will help you to be gentle. In a world full of self-words like self-esteem, self-confidence, self-actualization, you will find only one such word in the Bible, and that is self-control. And this is the last evidence listed in Galatians 5. Proverbs 25:28 says, "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control." In Bible times, cities had to have walls to protect them from enemies. And when those walls were broken down, anything and anybody could get in to plunder and kill and destroy. And so it is with us when we lack self-control. We open ourselves up to destruction. Look at your own life right now and ask yourself where your walls are broken down because of your unwillingness to exercise self-control. Even if the walls are only broken in one spot, the enemy will find that spot, whatever it is, and he will invade you and try to destroy you at that point. We need to build up our walls of self-control so that we are not vulnerable to Satan's attacks. So choose the area, the one area where you feel you most lack self-control. Then go to God's Word for some relevant verses and write those verses on cards and then pray them every day, every morning. For example, if laziness is your problem, you can pray Hebrews 6:11-12. "Lord, I know you don't want me to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what's been promised and to show diligence to the very end." There's a verse in the Bible that's relevant to any out of control areas in your life. You just need to look for it. And that's easy to do these days. We have so much help online. Well, we've taken a close look at each of the 9 characteristics that should be evident in the life of every true Christ follower. I know for me, some are stronger than others, but I need to work on all of them. And that's why I produced this booklet, Growing Spiritually, which I want to give you because I believe it will help you as it has helped me. All you have to do is request your copy, and Pam's going to give you that information of how you can request it. I remind you that the Apostle Paul said there is no law against this fruit. They are not going to offend people, but rather they will conform you to the image of Jesus Christ more and more. And that will benefit you and everyone in your life. It really will. But you know, in order for this fruit to be evident in our life, we have the Holy Spirit if we're born again, but we need to be intentional about praying it into our lives. I believe my booklet will help you. So let Pam tell you now how you can get that special booklet.
Thank you, Mary, for offering this very helpful booklet, Growing Spiritually. You can request your copy through our website, christianworkingwoman.org, or email us at tcww@christianworkingwoman.org. Or if you prefer, just give us a call at 630-462-0552. We want to put this booklet into your hands because it will really help you let your light shine for Jesus where you work and everywhere else. Once again, the web address is christianworkingwoman.org. And remember, keep up with Mary on social media. Thank you for listening today. I'm Pam Klein, inviting you back next week at this time for The Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman.